I have the opinion of the court in case 22-915, United States versus Rahimi. In December 2019, the respondent, Zaki Rahimi, met his girlfriend, CM, in a parking lot for lunch. During the meal, the couple began arguing. CM attempted to leave, but Rahimi grabbed her by the wrist, dragged her back to his car, and shoved her in, causing her to strike her head on the dashboard. When Rahimi realized that a bystander was watching, he paused to retrieve a gun from under the passenger seat. CM took advantage of the opportunity to escape. Rahimi fired the gun as she fled. Later, Rahimi called CM and threatened to shoot her if she reported the incident. Undeterred, CM obtained a restraining order against Rahimi. The Texas court that issued the order included a finding in that order that Rahimi posed a credible threat to the physical safety of CM. The order also suspended Rahimi's gun license. Several months later, Rahimi was arrested for threatening another woman with a gun. The police searched his residence and discovered a pistol, a rifle, ammunition, and a copy of the restraining order. Rahimi was indicted on one count of possessing a firearm while subject to a domestic violence restraining order in violation of 18 U.S.C. Section 922 G8. That provision of the federal code bars an individual subject to a restraining order from possessing firearms, so long as the order contains a finding that the individual represents a credible threat to the physical safety of an intimate partner. The court below held that Section 922 G8 violates the Second Amendment. Today, we reverse that decision. Our law affirms what common sense suggests. When an individual is found by a court to pose a credible threat to the physical safety of another, he may be temporarily disarmed. In our recent decision in New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin, we explained how to determine whether a firearm law is consistent with the Second Amendment. The government must show that the challenged law fits within our historical tradition of firearm regulation by identifying historic analogs to the challenged law. The challenged law, though, need not be identical to these historical analogs to pass constitutional muster. Rather, it must be relevantly similar in how and why it restricts arms bearing. Here, the government has identified two such analogs. The first is the surety laws. These laws prevented violence by requiring individuals who threatened others to post a bond guaranteeing that they would keep the peace. If the accused broke the peace, the bond would be forfeit. Surety bonds were sometimes obtained by wives to check violent husbands and by individuals who others had threatened with firearms. The second analog is the going armed laws. While the surety laws were designed to prevent threatening behavior, the going armed laws punished that behavior once it occurred. These laws prohibited riding or going armed with dangerous or unusual weapons to terrify the good people of the land. Because this conduct disrupted the public order and led almost necessarily to actual violence, those who violated these laws faced forfeiture of their arms and imprisonment. Taken together, the surety and going armed laws confirm that when an individual has been found by a court to pose a clear threat of physical violence to another, he may be disarmed consistent with the Second Amendment. Like the surety and going armed laws, Section 922 G8 seeks to prevent violence by temporarily disarming those who menace others with firearms. Like the surety laws, Section 922 G8's prohibition is temporary as applied to Rahimi, and like the going armed laws, Section 922 G8 is backed by the threat of imprisonment. Importantly, also like both analogs, Section 922 G8 only applies once a judge has determined that an individual poses a credible threat to the physical safety of another. We conclude only this: when an individual has been found by a court to pose a credible threat to the physical safety of another, he may be temporarily disarmed, consistent with the Second Amendment. The judgment of the Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit is reversed, and the case is remanded for further proceedings consistent with this opinion. Justice Sotomayor filed a concurrence, joined by Justice Kagan. Justices Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, Barrett, and Jackson also filed separate concurrences. Justice Thomas filed a dissent.